more love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you.
Luke 24, verse 44 through 52. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be filled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
All right.
Thank God for a pastor that helps us understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, that is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Tonight might be your new Jerusalem. This might be a new starting point for somebody, or a restart. Sometimes I've had to hit the restart button in me spiritually and get a fresh resurrection like I spoke of last Sunday night. And ye are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Sometimes we've got to tarry to get endued with power from on high. In worship services like this, any worship service, I come in with the mindset at the very beginning, I've got to leave with more than I came in with, because the world needs something that I've got to give back to this world. If I come in empty, Lord, help me leave full and endued with power. And he led them out as far as Bethany. Sometimes God leads you to a Bethany, to a point. Lazarus was resurrected at, I believe, was it Bethany? I believe. Sometimes I need my fresh resurrection. Sometimes I get it on a Sunday night. Sometimes I get it on a Sunday morning. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. Tonight we can praise and bless God, and we can worship God, and we can leave with a lot more than we came in the door with. You can have 1,000 horsepower motor under the hood of your car, but if you never turn on the key, you never put it in gear, it doesn't do a lot of good. Tonight, get engaged with God. Get engaged in God's Spirit. Let him resurrect you in a fresh and a new way. I know we've all had our resurrections. We've all been born of God's Spirit. But sometimes you need just a little bit more, that God might want to take you to another level. Let that level come tonight in your life, in my life. I want to reach to higher heights and deeper depths in God. I'm not satisfied where I am. Like Thomas said, Brother Wells had preached his soul out to us. There's more to this than we realize.
He's holy,
he's holy,
he's holy,
awesome,
awesome,
hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? Sometimes maybe we're going through a situation and we want to be on the mountaintop, but God knows we need to be in the valley for whatever reason, but He is that awesome. He knows. Thank you, Lord.
Your name in all the earth. Lord, you're mighty.
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 What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you,
I like getting wet. I used to walk in the rain in Florida. The Wells could relate to that. There's nothing like walking in the rain and getting wet in the Holy Ghost. God can flood your soul tonight. He can fill you up with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you come back to the world tomorrow, you'll have a glow on your face. You'll have something in your heart and your soul that the world's going to say, what happened to you on Sunday night? What happened to you?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Brother Mike. Thank you,
declare he's a mighty God, a mighty God. Hope for the nations, awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God. What an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a mighty God. What an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
We serve an amazing God. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. It's always intrigued me, the English language to some extent, how that a word like awesome, which literally means having some awe, is in our language better than awful. It wouldn't sound right if we sang, hallelujah, what an awful God. But there's not just some awe in God, He's full of awe. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know some wouldn't understand, but I almost want to sing, our God is an awful God. He reigns from heaven above. He's full of awe and wonder. I almost hesitate to say awesome because He's so much more than just awesome. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Lord, you are full of awe and wonder. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Feels good to feel the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It just blesses my soul to see people rejoice in the Lord. It blesses my soul to see people lift their hands, lift their voice, shout, dance, sing, jump. It's a good life living for the King. How many of you know your pastor's human? If you don't know that, just stick around me for a little bit. My wife, she about started to dance over there, I'm pretty sure. But in my humanity, I make mistakes. And last Sunday night, precious, wonderful Sister Connie Atkins asked me if she could testify, and I told her, yes, ma'am, you certainly can. And then I got up and preached, went all through service, didn't even dawn on me until I saw her standing at the back after service that I did not call on her to testify, and I felt about that big. I went to her and I apologized. I said, Sister Connie, I am so sorry. I don't know what happened. She said, Pastor, I was just praying that once you got started that you didn't look at me and realize that you had forgotten and then stop everything. You can go ahead and be seated, but I want Sister Connie to come, and she has a testimony that she would like to give. And Sister Connie, if you want to preach, that's just fine. I mean, you can take a text and just go with it. Come.
Praise the Lord. It just wasn't meant, it wasn't the right time. That's why I feel like tonight is definitely just, you know, services are just different from one to the other. And God fills our needs in however, because he just plain knows best. And so I am testifying, not that I enjoy coming up here, because I have no notes and I have all these little bullet points in my head, but I'll probably miss a few. But I made a promise to God that I would give him glory if he brought me through something, and he did. So here I am. So as many of you know, that, and I'm going to have to give you details, a few. I'll try real hard not to go too long. But you know what? It's God was in the details. This, what might have seemed small to some, but where his hand was just through everything that I went through. It's been 6 weeks now. It feels like forever since I went to the hospital. But a few days before, I had just been having trouble just plain breathing. I'd take a short walk, I'd go up the stairs, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it just hurts. I'd cough trying to catch a breath. And just figured it was, you know, all the other things you think it is. And but then it just kept getting worse, and to the point, and then I thought, well, maybe it's my lungs, you know. And I start, you know, my mom had a rare disease that she passed away from, you know, concerning her, that settled in her lungs, and, you know, all those things that you start thinking, you know. And but I went to, when I was going to bed on Monday night, the night before I went into the emergency room, I just started praying, because I just got this feeling, this is serious. I didn't call anybody. I just called on God. But I just told him, I said, you know, I started praying for my kids, because I was concerned about how they might react if I didn't make it through the night. And I told him, I said, you know, if I make it through the night, if you decide to take me, it's okay. I'd rather go in my sleep. And, you know, just please help my kids. And I said, but if you do bring me through this, I promise I will give you the glory. And so the next morning, I was just like, Lord, I need you to say, go to the hospital. You know, because we all just think, oh, it'll pass. And, like, I really need you to, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be in the car. I don't want to run into anything. I don't want to have Sadie or Riley with me and hurt them. I don't want to hurt anybody, so please let me pass out in front of someone, or just help me to know, because I just don't like to go to, especially the emergency room. So I got ready for work, and I got in the car and ready to go to work, and I was like, okay, this is just not going away. So I drove to the stop sign. It was either go straight to go to work or take a right to the emergency room. And I just decided, you know what, it's just an expensive doctor's appointment. What can I, you know, I just got to spend the money. I'll just do it. I barely, when I got pulled into the parking lot, I thought, I'm not sure I can make it to the door. And so I was walking along. There was a guy spreading salt, because it was that nasty morning where we had the slush and stuff. I thought, well, if I pass out, he'll see me. I won't be laying out here for a long time. I barely made it to the door, but I could still talk a little, and I just blurted out, I can't breathe. And the lady came around and sat me down in the wheelchair. And I'm telling you, the minute I sat, I had crashed. I had an excruciating headache. And that's all I could do was to hold on to my head. I broke out in a big sweat. And you know, God didn't let that, there's a detail. God did not let me have that at home, away from anybody that could help me, in the car, where I did not want to run into anybody or their home or tree or whatever. He did not allow that to happen until I was seated. Not even just through the doors, but until I was seated. And then, you know, they proceeded to go through all the crazy stuff. I was awake the whole time. I never passed out. I was talking to them and everything. And another detail was they told me right away, you are not going to be staying at this hospital. It was my heart rate and it was low, which really, you know, threw me. And then my blood pressure was high and they couldn't give me something for the blood pressure because that would bring my heart rate too low. Anyway, they said, well, you know what? There happens to be a cardiologist here that's coming in about 10 minutes, and he is willing to come in and see you. And the nurse, he stood there and he said, this never happens in Sandwich. He said, you should really feel honored that this guy is willing to see you because he's coming to see another patient. He's willing to come in and see you. I said, no, that is an answer to prayer. That was God having that, because they were waiting for me to get into another room at Edwards, which could take a couple hours. The cardiologist saw me, told me, just stood there. He looked at a few of my charts. He looked at the screen. He said, you have a heart block, which is a rhythmic problem. You have a heart block and, you know, you will be going to Edwards. And they came in, 10 minutes after he was there and said, the ambulance will be here in about 15 minutes to pick you up. We're going to move you from emergency room to emergency room, so there's no wait. So anyway, I get to the emergency room. Rachel and Ryan got there. Pastor Wells, Robin was there. I didn't realize that, and I saw her a little bit later. And Pastor Wells came in, and they were able to pray for me when all the crowd of people kind of eventually just walked out of the room. All of a sudden, I was by myself. Those three walked in, prayed for me, and as soon as they left, everybody flooded back in. But I do remember Pastor Wells saying, praying, God, keep your hand and direct these doctors. And, you know, there was never a question. Remember when I said I prayed, God, just let me know exactly what I need to do. There was never a question. They knew what I needed to do. They promised me I could get a pacemaker in by that afternoon, and I just can't even explain having a pacemaker, what that made me feel like. It just, my grandma had one at 78. I'm 57. And it just didn't feel wrong, didn't feel right. And I am getting used to it, thinking that, knowing that I have it, but it's been tough at times. I'm getting better. But I think that, and my brother-in-law happened to be coming from, he lives in St. Louis. He happened to be traveling through Indiana when my sister called him and told him. So he also was able to be at the hospital while I was in surgery. He's had a lot of medical issues just to help that, you know, that family member be there for Rachel and Ryan. And I appreciate so much Pastor Wells and Robin being there. They were so helpful to Rachel and Ryan, you know, just that support. And I knew people were praying. And I don't think I'm forgetting anything. I just know that God kept his hand through all that. He, you know, sometimes our bodies just start to fall apart. That's how he made them, you know. Unfortunately, our hearts start to go, our minds, you know, whatever, starts to go. But that doesn't mean he's let go. That doesn't mean that he has let go of us. And after, did I forget any of that stuff? Sorry, Rachel, poor things has to go through this again. And I did go to my regular doctor, and he was just checking me out, and he looked at the screen, and he said, yep, you had a number 3 heart block, because I was still kind of like, why do I have, did I really, maybe they made a mistake. I really have to have a pacemaker. And he looks at me, he says, number three, he said, you either get a pacemaker or you die. I said, oh, okay, I just wanted someone to tell me that, you know, now I'm okay with it. And then he looks down and he says, well, he said, God's not ready to let you go. He still has something more for you to do. That's my doctor. I didn't even have to share with him. He's telling me that. And so I am just so thankful for all that. And I have to share something else with you that is just kind of tough. But a few days, I had so much good help. Rachel came and stayed with me. Julie came and stayed with me when I got the blood clot in my arm and everything. You know, I'm doing a lot better. But I just want, you know, I knew that God took care of me. I knew that he had his hand on me. But, you know, the devil always wants to try and, you know, I was being so careful with myself. Like, I could die at any moment. You know, that's really, I was just being so careful. And I just felt so vulnerable, I guess, you know, having that all happen. And I happened to be home. It was my first day by myself completely. And I started looking up at something in the ceiling, and I saw some mildew spots. And my first thing, you know, just house repair, car repair, my first thought was, oh no, that's going to cost a lot of money. And this voice came to me strong as you were standing next to me, said, it doesn't matter, you're not going to be around much longer anyhow. And I was, I was crushed because for a moment, I thought that was God telling me that, you know, you aren't going to be around much longer. And I was crushed at how it was said to me. And then very quickly, I wish quicker than what it did, I realized that was not God. God does not talk to us like that. He talks to us with care and love. And not just, don't worry about that, you're not going to be around much longer anyhow. And you know what, I am his and he is mine. And when I go, if it's tomorrow, I'm tired of that feeling of, you know, I don't know. I feel like, I suppose it's a good new lease on life to feel like live each day good, but you don't want to walk through life afraid. And you know what, God, I will go when it's God's time for me to go. You know, that's just, I am his, and he is mine, and I will go when he says so. Not, you know, not just whenever he says so. And I just feel like I need to share with you, when I saw one of my reports, it said acute, and I don't know how many, you know, acute and chronic. I've always been, I love medical terminology, but that isn't just for medical. But acute means that it's a quick and a fast onset. Chronic is when you live with something day after day. So mine was acute because it came on quick and, you know. But I just started thinking about the things that some of us go through. Some of us have trials that are chronic. It's like, when is this ever going to go away? When is this ever going to get better? And some of us have traumatic, and I don't even call mine traumatic. I mean, I was okay. I mean, but some of us have acute situations that happen fast and hard, and they shake us. But God is in each and every one of them. Even those chronic ones that you wonder, what kind of situation, when is God ever going to relieve me of this trial? When are things ever going to change? And I don't have the answer, and you know, I don't always know why things happen. I don't know why this happened to me, other than my body just started giving out, and he kept me from going because it wasn't my time yet. But I just want to encourage you all that whether you're in a chronic situation or an acute situation, he is there. And no matter what the devil tries to tell you, God is in control of that. And God will pick the time. God will pick the time, not the devil. He can tell you all whatever he wants to, but you've got to know that God always speaks to us in love and care, and we've just got to count on him. So thank you. I praise the Lord.
Why don't we all stand? Thank you, Sister Connie. Thank you, church, for going to prayer when you're made aware that the situation was happening. And I know many of you went to the Lord in prayer on Sister Connie's behalf. And so we're thankful. We're thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says a good report makes the bones fat, makes us feel good when we hear God working, God moving, and yes, God is even in the details. It's amazing to me how many times I look back over situations and circumstances, and though at the time I may not have realized it, but I can look back and see that God's hand was involved. God was guiding, God was leading things, and I'm thankful that we have that kind of God who's involved in our everyday situations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles and you would turn in them with me, I will not keep you long, but I do want to bring you a word of the Lord tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Thank God for the church. Thank God for a body of believers that will go to prayer on behalf of someone. It's encouraging to see that even when someone may put something on social media, struggle they're experiencing, something they're going through, and then watch brothers and sisters in the Lord as they respond with scripture, respond words of encouragement. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 12, just one verse of scripture. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I realize the Apostle Paul is addressing spiritual gifts. He's talking about spiritual gifts, the proper operation of such within the church. Right here in the middle of this dissertation concerning gifts of the Spirit, proper use, it's as if the Apostle Paul pauses and says, listen, it's good that you're zealous of spiritual gifts. One of the places we're encouraged to covet earnestly the best gifts. It's good that you're zealous of spiritual gifts. But there's something else I want you to seek. Seek that you may excel under the edifying of the church. See, the reality is, when I am better as an individual, it makes the church collectively better as a body. And so one of the reasons why I do what I do and I seek to grow and mature in my relationship and walk with God is because I'm seeking not only to excel in my individual walk and relationship with God, but I'm seeking that I may be able to excel in edifying the church. So with the help of the Lord, that's what I want to preach to you upon for just a few moments. Excel in edifying the church. Excel in edifying the church. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for this wonderful body of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ who have gathered together. Lord, we need to recognize now more than ever before how much we need one another. how much we need, God, the support, the prayers, God, and the encouragement of our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we would not in any way, shape, or form seek to divide or cause division or discouragement, but, well, Lord, we would encourage one another, God, that we would lift one another up, God, that we would seek to excel in edifying the church, that individually we would grow and collectively as a body we would grow, God, to see your work performed, to see your kingdom advance. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Excel in edifying the church. I have said it before, and if you're around here any length of time, you'll hear me say it again, but I believe that the church is the greatest institution in all the world. I believe that what we need now in these latter days is not less church, we need more church. I believe we need more fellowship, we need more time with one another, and I believe this, I believe the world needs the church. The world needs an institution that has principles and morals and ethics. The world needs a body of believers. I'm not talking about people that just want to qualify themselves as Christians and live any old other way. I'm talking about people who have come out from among them and be separate. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the living God. The world needs the church. Maybe you didn't hear me. The world needs the church. The world needs a body of spirit-filled believers who are not led by their own inclination, but they're led and inspired by the power and presence of Almighty God. This world needs some people who are not so consumed with this world and its pursuits, but are consumed with the principles and precepts of the Word of God, and understand that only by Him and only through Him do any of us have any hope of having what He wants us to have and be who He wants us to be. The world needs the church. And we need the church. Now, you, please understand what I'm saying. You might be able to make it to heaven without it, but I wouldn't want to chance it. You might be able to go all on your own, and I'm not discounting, I'm not demeaning, I'm not discrediting your own personal walk and relationship with God. You have to have that. But we also need to understand we need the church. I need my brothers, and I need my sisters. I need somebody to lift me up in prayer when all of a sudden I got to pull into the emergency room because I don't know what's going on in my life. I need some brothers and sisters who will encourage me, who will notice when I'm downtrodden and when I'm under a heavy load, and they will bear my burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. I need the church. I need. That's why it pains me to see people who feel like, well, they can just come any old time, and whenever it's convenient, then they'll walk in those doors. That they really need a revelation and understanding. They need the church. If you're going to raise kids correctly, you need the church. If you're going to be the husband you need to be, you need the church. If you're going to be the mother you need to be, you need the church. I need to come and hear a preacher preach from the Word of God. I need to come and have brothers and sisters encourage me and strengthen me. I need the church of the living God. I need a body of believers to help me. You see, I believe the Bible shows us just how important the church is. The Bible tells us in Acts 20 and 28 that God purchased the church with His own blood. Now, I understand that is through Jesus Christ, but it's letting us know just how special the church is. We read it Wednesday night, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We need to understand that the church is important to God. Oh, died for the church. I realize he died for you and I. I realize that he died for us in an individual sense, but I also realize he died for the church. He gave himself for the church in a collective sense. What is important to God should be important to me. My ideas about church should not be a take it or leave it mentality. Maybe I can or maybe I can't. No, I need to know. I need the church. It's important to God. It's important to me. It's important to my family. It's important to my friends and my associates. It's important that I involve myself in the church. It's the greatest institution in all the world. And I need the church and you need the church. Bible encourages us that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but even so much the more as you see the day approaching, we need the church. I need my brothers and sisters, and you need me. The Apostle Paul, as he's talking about spiritual gifts and proper operation of them within the church and how that we seek certain things and we hold some things as higher than others in relation to the operation of the church and then how they work and how they move. And in the middle of his dissertation, in the middle of talking about all the things that spiritual gifts do and how they work in the church, he said, listen, I want you to know, as much as you desire and you're zealous of spiritual gifts, as much as you want to be moved and used by the Spirit of Almighty God, as much as you want to be used in giving a word of knowledge, or you want to you be used in the gift of faith, or you want to be used in the gift of, as much as you desire those spiritual gifts, there's something else you need to understand. You need to seek that you excel in edifying the church. Whatever it is, it's not for your own glory, and it's not for your own doing. It's not so you can thumb your lapels and say, I was used by God. It's so you can understand that God will use a vessel for the edification of the body, and God will use the ear or the eye or the nose. He'll use whatever appendage is willing to somehow edify the body of Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, it's good that you're zealous of spiritual gifts, but you should also seek to excel, to grow, to mature in edifying the church. You see, somewhere our maturity, our walk in relationship with God is going to show how much we have matured when it becomes important that it's not only for me and my benefit, but for the benefit of the church. I'm going to say that again. Because unfortunately, sometimes even when it comes to spiritual stuff, we have a tendency to follow our carnality and our humanity and become selfish. And if God blessed you with the gift and God allows you to be used, it's not for your own personal edification. It's not so people can think you're super spiritual. It's not so you can have a word and everybody can say, oh, sister so-and-so, or oh, brother so-and-so, what a mighty word. No, it's for the edification of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, I seek to be used by you, not for my own edification, but that the body of Christ may be built up and uplifted. Seek that you may excel. See, somewhere along the line, we've got to understand that how the church fares is more important than how I fare. I didn't think I'd get too many amens on that one. Somewhere along the line, we got to get out of this my own empire mentality where it's all about what I'm building and what I'm doing. No, I'm just a faithful servant in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. There is something about the church. There's something about the body of believers, the church of the living God, that whatever I can do, I want to do. If I'm more concerned with my own accomplishments and my own abilities and my and yet I can let the church just be the church, just go through the motions. I know I'm preaching now. Apostle Paul said, listen, you got to seek to excel to the edifying of the church. What you need to understand that it's more important how the church fares than it is how you fare. It's more important that the church increases. Now, the understanding is that as I increase, so should the church. As I grow in my walking relationship with God, it's going to benefit the church. But I'm not growing in my walking relationship with God just for me. I'm growing in my walking relationship with God because it has an effect upon other people. And when I walk, and whether I'm at play, or whether I'm at home, or whether I'm at work, I am an ambassador of Christ. I am an emissary of the Church of the Living God. And so what I do, I better be willing to ask the question, is this going to edify the church? Is what I'm involved in and what I'm doing, is it somehow going to be beneficial to the Church of the Living God? We got to seek. We got to find areas and find ways. Pastor, tell me how I can be beneficial to the church. Pastor, tell me how I can do things around here. It's going to increase the value of the church. I'm not talking about materialistically. I'm talking about spiritually. That I would seek to excel in edifying the church. We give our talents to so many things. Why? In the world, would we hesitate to give our talents, our resources, and yes, even our treasure, our money, to the greatest institution in all the world? What? See, it's not just what goes on here. It's what goes on outside the walls. It's what goes on when I'm walking the streets. It's what goes on when I'm walking through the halls at school and work. It's what go. Am I seeking to excel in edifying the church? If I had pasted on my forehead, I am a member of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. Now, please understand, I understand there's more to the church than just FAC of Sandwich. But since we're here, and this is the church that we attend, if I went around with a shirt on every day that said, I'm a member of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, would people, catch it, would people seeing me and recognizing that I am a member, would they want to attend? Man, I knew it was going to get tied in here tonight. In my everyday living, God forbid that in the workplace, people might want to come to church until they found out that that's where I attended. Is the church benefited by what I do and the life that I live? Is my everyday walk out there among others showing them that what I do in my lifestyle and how I live and how I handle myself and my conversation and my moderation that is to be known to all men, is that something that is seeking to edify the church of the living God? When people see me and they interact with me and they talk with me, are they looking at someone who is being a beneficial representation of the church of the living God? Are they interacting with someone who is saying it and displaying it and being the church? See, here's what I've come to understand. I want to become better at making the church better. I'm going to say that again. I want to become better at making the church better. I want to seek to excel. My desire is to excel at edifying the church, at building up the church. Because the better I am, the better I make the church. And collectively, if we could all get that, if we could all understand that. Now stay with me. You might want to pull your feet under the pew a little bit. Because how I respond in church, I'll say that again. How I respond in church is a great indicator
of whether or not I am proud to be a part of what I am a part of. Now, I'm gonna put on my pastor hat for a few moments. Showing up at 6 o'clock on Sunday for prayer, it ain't just for me. It's because I want to edify the church. Not just so people can see me that I'm here at 6 and I'm doing what pastors requested and coming for corporate prayer. No, it's because I also want to edify the church. It's because I seek to excel in edifying the church. I seek that other people, when they come in around 6 o'clock, would see a lot of other people here already praying. I seek to excel in edifying the church. I'm just going to be real with you. You know me, I'm a pretty candid guy. It's pretty disappointing when the preacher preaches his guts out, calls for a response, and just because the message didn't pinpoint me, I still stay in my pew. Just because it wasn't completely meant, am I seeking to edify the church? Or is it just about me? Is it just about, well, that message really didn't speak to me? Well, maybe it's speaking to somebody else, and they're wondering if anybody else is going to make the move, but you're still sitting there. Do I seek to edify the church? It's not about me. I may not feel comfortable making my way up front. Well, guess what? I guarantee you they don't feel comfortable about making their way up front. And how many have stayed in their pew simply because the people have stayed . And when the altars are open, guess what? There should be something inside of me that says, I seek to edify the church. I seek that somebody would come and be delivered. I seek that somebody would make their way down to the altar. And so it matters when the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist preaches himself silly and then he makes an altar call and maybe one or two people come down front and everybody else just stays in the pew. I'm sorry, but I ain't playing games. This thing is eternal and I seek to edify the church. And so even if it didn't touch my funny bone, and even if it didn't tickle my heart, I'm going to wake my way down front and raise my hands because I seek to edify the church. There's somebody else who needed what Pastor had to say. There's somebody else who needed that word. And if they won't make their way until somebody else does, let me be that person. I want to edify the church. I want somebody to leave delivered. I want somebody to leave healed. And bless your soul, maybe it didn't strike you good. And maybe you didn't get your miracle. But maybe God has a miracle for somebody else. And if I could ever get myself out of the way enough to seek for the edification of the church, God, let it be. Even my fellowship matters. Even my fellowship matters. Yeah, I already stepped into it, so some of y'all are just going to have to get mad at me. When there's a ladies' fellowship, or ladies' prayer, or there's a men's fellowship, or there's a men's prayer, or there's a men's conference, or there's a men's retreat, or there's a ladies' conference, and there's a ladies' retreat, and the church is making a concerted effort to go and be a part of that, you need to make a concerted effort to go and be a part of it. Why? Well, it's just not a convenient time for me, and it just doesn't fit my schedule. Am I seeking to edify me, or am I seeking to edify the church? Is it about me and what I want, or what makes me feel good, or is it about I want to encourage some other sisters to get involved? You see, if we ever get a hold of this, guess what? Growth will happen. If we ever get a hold of this concept and we understand it's not about me and my, it's about us and we, it's about us collectively. And though it ain't convenient for me, and it may be my only night off for a while, guess what? It matters to me that I edify the church of the living God. So I'm going to make every possible... I'm going to do what I can to be a part of it. Matters. And I seek to edify the church. I seek to excel. How can I be better? Listen, pastor's just up here preaching. He's just saying, we want to grow. We want to be better. We want to encourage others to be a part of this. Guess what? Now I need to start seeking to excel in edifying the church. See, this is what Romans 14:19 says. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, in things wherewith one may edify another. We seek those things. We search those things. Because here's the thing. We can find fault if that's what we're going to look for. We can find things. We can, as the scripture says, bite and devour one another. Why in the world would we as the church of the living God be cannibalistic? Why would we eat our own? Why would we not seek for those things that make peace and those things that edify another? And it's kind of like this. If I can't say something nice about the church, guess what? I shouldn't say anything at all. If I can't say something nice about my brothers, I know it's just something we're taught as school kids. It's something we're taught, listen, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. The reality is that same thing works in the church. If it's not edifying, if it's not building it up, guess what it's doing? It's tearing it down. And so there's power of life and death in the tongue. And so I need to be very careful. I need to be, because guess what? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if all of a sudden I decide there's going to be some negative or derogatory thing that comes, I better allow the Holy Ghost to check me. Wait a second, is this going to edify the church? Is this going to edify my brother or my sister? Is this going to tear him down? Is this going to discourage him? So if it's not going to edify, well then I probably shouldn't say it. I probably should just keep it to myself and pray about it and let God deal with it. Because I seek to excel in edifying the church. Now, I told you it wasn't going to be long, so I'm not going to go much longer. Here's the thing. I know I preached it straight and I preached it tough. But if we want this church to grow, we want. See, it's one thing just to say, well, I'm happy and I love my church. I love going and being a part of First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, and that's all well and good. I'm glad that you love it for you, but do you love it for someone else? Do you love it enough that what you purpose in your own life and in your own heart is that I'm going to do more to make sure it grows? I'm going to grow individually so it grows collectively. I'm going to seek to excel and edify. Yeah, I'm going to be zealous of spiritual gifts. I'm going to seek after those things. I'm going to desire those things. But it's not just for my own. It's not just to build my walking relationship with God. It is to edify the church of the living God. Why the Apostle Paul said, listen, you need to understand this concept. Because while all things are lawful unto me, not all things are expedient. And all things edify not. So there are some things that we do as a body of believers. And maybe I can't take you to scripture and verse and tell you that's exactly why we do what we do. But we do certain things because it edifies the church. I can't tell you, I can't take you to scripture and verse. It tells you you need to look your best, put on your best when you come to church. But think about this. And I know this world, we become so open-minded, our brains are falling. But yet, come any old way you are. Now, please understand. I get that. I understand. I don't want anybody not to come to church because they don't feel like they have the proper attire to be at church. Please understand what I'm saying. Please understand where I'm coming. But at the same point in time, I want those who
understand what church is and what church is all about, I want them to understand that even what I wear, even how I handle myself and how I can, I want it to edify the church. You better stand because I'm about to do some more meddling. Folks, Disneyland has no qualms at all about making sure you have a certain conduct, a certain character, and even a certain dress code. It doesn't. Makes no qualms at all about making it mandatory for their team members. Catch it. Team. And one of the things that has made it such a success is that they are their leaders are not afraid to say this is what makes us who we are. Folks, the church is an institution far greater than Disneyland. And I know it's not always convenient to wake up early enough to make sure the shirt's ironed. I know it's not always convenient to make sure I get up in enough time to make sure that I'm as presentable as I can be. But am I seeking to edify the church? I know y'all, some of y'all looking at me like, Pastor done got off the deep end. No, I'm just consumed with excelling and edifying the church. And it does matter. It does matter. Why? Because I want the church to grow, and I seek to excel in edifying the church and building up. I don't want anything that I do. I don't want anything that is a part of my life. I don't want anything to detract from the church growing and going forth. And so when it comes to anything that may be divisive and it comes to anything that I could say that would tear down or discourage, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. When it comes to what's going to encourage and what's going to uplift and what's going to build, I'm going to be a part of that. When the opportunity comes to gather with my brothers and my sisters in fellowship and time together, I'm going to make every possible thing to do to make sure that I'm a part of it, that I'm involved in it. Because it's not just about me. I don't want my brother going and then not seeing me and becoming discouraged because I'm not there and he doesn't really know why I'm not there. I know I preach it tough and I know I preach it straight, but that's what Sunday nights are for sometimes. Pastor to put on pastor hat and say, hey, we all need to start seeking more to excel in edifying the church. Because I know that this, anybody is going to be able to find what they need, it needs to be here. Healing is here and help is here. It's not just a group. It's not just a 4-H club. It's not just a town hall meeting. This is where eternities are forever altered. This is where lives are forever changed. And I want to build the church of the living God. And I seek to excel in edifying the church. My desire is that the church is going to be built up. It's going to be better because I'm better. Lord, I know I'm preaching straight. God, I know. Not that I'm trying to hand down rules and regulations. It's not that I'm trying to be domineering. I'm just trying to get us to understand a concept that in the middle of all this talk about spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul pauses and says, wait a second, don't miss this understanding. I love that you're zealous of spiritual gifts, but you also need to seek to excel in edifying the church. You also need to think, how's this going to affect my brothers and my sisters? I'm going to make every effort to be there. I'm going to make every effort to come whenever the doors are open. I applaud you people that we probably have 90% of those that come on Sunday morning that come back again on Sunday night. Thank you for that. Thank you for making the extra sacrifice. But it's not just for you. It's for edifying the church. In a show of good faith and a response, I'm going to open these altars. And if you're here and you seek to edify the church, and you say, Pastor, I'm on board. I'm showing you in my response. I'm showing you. I'm giving a physical indicator of what side I'm on and what I... Are you seeking to excel in edifying the church? Help me, God. Understand my heart in preaching this kind of message.
Everything revolves around you.
Lord, let my participation
Jesus,
show that I seek to excel in edifying the church. Asking you to be coach. I just want to know, are you willing to get off the bench and get in the huddle with the rest of us and say, hey, what's the plan? What's the next move? How do we make this thing grow? How do we edify this? I'm on board, Pastor.
It's always me. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
I still believe the church is the greatest institution in all the world. Church. I need the church.
Yes, Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center.
Brother, hey sister, I want you to know I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here that you can be better and I can be better, and together we make the church better. I just seek to excel in edifying the church. My praise. I wanted to edify. I wanted to uplift the church.
Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you. Jesus.
the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church.
This message is not an indictment. But this I do know. I know there's room for improvement. I know there's room for improvement in my own life. I know there's room for improvement in your life. I've always appreciated people that challenge me. Don't let me remain status quo. Because people that challenge me, that lets me know they believe that I can be better. Catch it. See, they have the faith that if I stay where I'm at, I'm settled. So they push me, encourage me, prod me. So please understand, this is not in any way, shape, or form to condemn, hurt, be critical. This is to challenge us to seek to excel in edifying the church. A city set upon a hill, and I want it to shine just as bright as it can shine.
I want to be. I want to be the flame that helps give brightness to the church of the living God. I want the love of God to shine abroad in my heart. As I stated earlier, I thank you. We have probably on a percentage basis those that come on Sunday morning and then come again on Sunday night. It's awesome. I thank you for your commitment along those lines. But there's other areas that I challenge you. We can work on. We can become better. Because we need each other. Lord Jesus, I believe the heart of your people is receptive to your word. Lord, if I offended anyone that did not do so with malicious intent at all, I seek only to challenge for us all to excel in edifying the church and building up the church to making it better. And if I'm better, then it's going to help make the church better. So I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to be content with where I'm at. I want people to challenge me. I want brothers and sisters to encourage me. Come on, brother, you can. Come on, help us. Help us be a better representation. Help us. Let's all collectively seek to excel in edifying the church. Thank you, Jesus. Now, one more time, can we lift our hands, lift our voices? Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for these precious people beside me. Thank you for loving hearts that cry out on my behalf. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful institution called the church that I have a pleasure to be a part of. God, it's so important to me. It means so much that I have opportunity to be a part of this church. I know we're not perfect. I know we make mistakes. I know you can find fault if you want to, but I guarantee you there's a lot more good that you can find if you look for it and you seek for it, and we can build one another up and encourage and strengthen one another. Thank you for your response. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.